Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have brought us together again, together in your presence. Help us, O Lord, to serve you with gladness. Accept our worship and praise, both silent and spoken, and receive our prayers and praise in the devotion of our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us members of the body of Christ. Help us to fulfill our vocation and to exercise our ministry. You have called your church to be a holy priesthood. Help us, O Lord, to offer grateful sacrifices to you, both spiritual, and to enter into fellowship with one another and to help one another. You have given us differing gifts. May we share them with each other, to use them responsibly in the service of others and in the community. Grant us to be generous in giving and humble in receiving, that we may grow up to be responsible followers and to be Christ-like. Lord, you have called us to be your witnesses. Give us this grace to bear and obey your call. We pray that our lives may bear witness to your love, shown in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that as we witness, may we reflect your light in the communities to which we serve and work and live. We ask all things to the glory of your precious name. Amen. Continuing with the question of who am I, this afternoon we are dealing with I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Now, in Hampton Court near London, there's a grapevine which is about 1,000 years old. The grapevine has one root which is at least 2 feet thick, and some of the branches are 200 feet long. And despite its age, the vine produces several tons of grapes each year. Although some of the smaller branches are 200 feet from the main stem, they still bear the sweet and delicious fruit for which they are connected to the vine. Life flows from that single root, and throughout the vine brings nourishment and strength to each of the branches. This is what Jesus promises us. He is the true vine, bringing life to each of the branches. And the purpose of the vine is to bring nourishment to the branches in order that they may produce fruit. When separated from the vine, the branches wither and die. The vitality of our spiritual life is dependent upon our connection to Christ, the true vine. We need to ask ourselves this question. First, are we connected to the vine? Is the life of Christ flowing within us? Secondly, if we are connected to the vine and we are joined to Jesus Christ, how much fruit are we producing in our lives? Is there no fruit? Some fruit? Or an abundance of fruit? First of all, let us think. Jesus is the source of life. He is the relationship to each one of us as a believer. Jesus tells his disciples, I am the true vine. Have you ever wondered why Jesus said that? Think with a moment what has happened. This was the night of Jesus' betrayal. But before that happens, Jesus and his disciples were in the upper room. And as they celebrated the Passover in the upper room, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. And he spoke with them about the events that were going to take place. And after a lot of discussion, Jesus said in chapter 14, before this one, come, let us leave. And they were singing a hymn, and they went out to the Mount of Olives. I believe as they were walking on their way from the upper room to the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus continued to instruct this group who had walked with him for the last 3 years. Jesus knew that time was running out, but still, he had something to share with the disciples. And Jesus taught them and said, I am the true vine. You see, he is indeed a master teacher. As he talked to his disciples, he talks through us, through his holy scriptures. He didn't talk over people's head. He used things which were common to those he taught so that he could understand. He could understand his teaching. So I believe as Jesus and the disciples were making their way, they were walking beside him, and he was saying something which is so familiar to them, the grapevine. Jesus tells them, I am the true vine. Now he had their attention. Jesus was using something which was familiar to them, something like an illustrated sermon. Jesus had told them about all these things that were going to happen to him. Jesus tells them that he was alive. Secondly, he tells them that he will send the Holy Spirit to them. And he tells them, I am the true vine. You see, everyone living in Jerusalem, even some of the fishermen among them, understood what was about a vine and the branches. And so Jesus used this common sight to try and further give them further understanding. The image of vine has Old Testament roots. Jesus used it to emphasize the meaning of remaining in him, of abiding in him. Believers are attached to Jesus as branches are attached to the vine. And just as a branch can only bear fruit if it's attached to the vine, so believers can only bear fruit if they remain in Jesus Christ. Jesus is showing his disciples and to us that he is a source of spiritual life. Jesus is a source of life, a resource made available to us by the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, who has come among us. As we read in 1 John, let me read to you 1 John verses 11 and 12. And this is the record, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John 5:11-12. Now, before we move any further, we need to stop and deal with the first question. Are we connected to the vine? If you are not connected to Jesus through the forgiveness of your sin, if you have not let Jesus rescue you from the drowning in the turbulent sea of sin, then you are as good as dead. The life you are living now is empty and meaningless because you are not connected to the source of life. The choice is ours. Either we stay the way we are, or we choose to be grafted to the life-giving vine. When you are connected to Jesus, everything is new and alive. Secondly, the life produces much fruit. Jesus is the life source, and his life within the believer is for one purpose: to produce fruit. The question we need to ask ourselves: how much fruit? The Bible tells us is either no fruit, some fruit, or an abundance of fruit. Remember, Jesus is talking with his disciples. He's saying, I'm the true vine, and his believers are the branches. So when we think about the quantity of fruit in an individual's life, we are talking about believers that are connected to the vine. Anyone who is not connected to Jesus cannot bear fruit. Therefore, the question is, how much fruit does your life produce? Some say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So how much is it? How much is it produced? Again, if we turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 and 18. Matthew 7, verses 16 and 18. We read Matthew 7, 16, verse 16. You shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns, of figs, of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringing forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringing forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Yes, we recognize people by the fruit they produce. We are the branches, and we desire to produce more and more of the fruit when we are connected to him. Now, let's come on to the question of how much fruit is there in your life. It's either no fruit, some fruit, or an abundance of fruit. As we have read in John 15, every branch that's in me that beareth not fruit has taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Let's deal with the first. It produces no fruit. Does it surprise you that there can be branches connected to the vine which produces no fruit? I believe Jesus and it identifies two such branches. On the surface, we may think that they all get the same treatment by the gardener, by the housewoman. The fruitless branch is cut off and thrown into the fire. Jesus said, "If any man abideth in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into fire, and they are burned." Both of these branches produces no fruit. The verse says, "Unless you abide in me, unless you abide in me." And in verse 6 it says, "If a man abideth not in me and not in me." That is what Jesus means. If you bear no fruit, if you do not abide in me, and if you do not, if the branch is not in me, or it abideth not in me, it produces no fruit. A healthy grapevine puts out new shoots which grows into branches. However, these new branches sometimes grow on the ground. They are covered with dirt and are shaded from the light of the sun. Although they are alive, they can't produce fruit. And the gardener will wash the dirt from the branches and lift these branches up into the sun. The branch is clean and lifted and trained to grow more, and it can produce more fruit. The fruitless branch in verse 2 is like the believer who has not been discipled or trained to live the Christian life. Would the Father cut off such a branch? No. Jesus Christ is willing, He's come to save us. As 2 Peter 3:9 says, He is not willing that any should perish. The desire of the Father is that those of us who are in Christ will produce fruit and bring glory to the Father. The Father that receives no glory if He cuts us off. He lifts us up. That's what He does. Left to ourselves, we all remain branches in Christ, but unfruitful. And Christ lifts us from the dirt of this world. The life source is within us. His Holy Spirit is in us. But God will make us fruitful. He will lift us up and to produce fruit. It does this by the Holy Spirit coming in through us to teach us and to instruct us. God renews our minds so that we no longer conform to the ways of this world. He teaches us to hate sin and to desire righteousness in our lives. When we have sin in our lives, we want to restore us to a relationship with God. If God does not lift us from the dirt and slime of this world, then we are in danger of becoming a fruitless branch that chooses not to remain in Christ. But if we do not enter into relationship, then we are lost. We must let the Holy Spirit renew our minds so that we will be cut off from the source of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Next, there is those that produces some fruit. Not all branches are fruitful as others. Some branches may have a bushel of fruit, while another branch may only produce perhaps one or two bunches of fruit. Now, don't confuse quantity and quality. As a believer, you are joined to the vine. The life of Christ is within the vine, and that produces the fruit. Therefore, any fruit that is produced in life must have a connection to the vine. It is all good food, but Christ's life in you will to produce good fruit when it is connected to the true vine, when you yourself are disciplined. Let us read again 15:2-4. It says, every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth much more fruit. This is what our friend John has produced in this insert that he says, when every branch that yields, while every branch that yields good fruit, he trims and clean, so that it will produce more fruit each day. That is right. Every branch he prunes, so that it will produce fruitfulness. He will clean, and he will suspend into the sun, so that we can produce much fruit. What is it? What is it that restricts the production of fruit in our lives? Why is some that produces only one or two branches? Why some produces only some fruit? In a word, the thing that prevents the production of much fruit is one word: self. Self is that which restricts us from producing much fruit. We love Christ, we say Christ's Spirit is within us, and his fruit is evident in our lives. But from time to time, more often, we stop relying upon Christ, and his life within us loses its strength. No branch can bear fruit by itself. In these times when we stop depending on Christ and rely upon our own strength and ability, it is then that the branch is unable to produce much fruit. Oftentimes, we may fall into sin once again because we don't depend upon Christ as a source of life to help us. So what does the Father do? He doesn't cut off and throw us out away. No, he desires that every branch shall produce an abundance of fruit. And therefore, he trims and cleans us. Every branch that does not produce fruit, he purgeth, he trims and cleans, he prunes, so that it will be more fruitful. You see, this image of pruning is very important for us to know. Just as the Father disciplines only all those who love, so a Father also prunes those branches which he expects to bear much fruit. Christians must learn to see suffering, difficulty or adversity as a form of God's pruning, by which he will make us better Christians and to be effective witnesses to him. Useless branches are cut away, but only those who are worth the trouble, those who are still connected to Christ, are trimmed, cleaned, and pruned. Christ is wanting us to be more fruitful, to be more connected to him. In some ways, pruning is also quite painful. Discipline is not easy, but pruning is productive. And when the branches are pruned, it will bring forth much fruit. In Hebrews 12:17, we read, endure chastening. God dealeth with you as with sons, for what the son is whom the father chasteneth not. You see, hardship, discipline is hard. God treats us and disciplines us. And this is the way that God prunes us. Now let's come on to the third kind of fruit, the branch that produces an abundance of fruit. That produces an abundance of fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that he bear forth much fruit. So shall you shall be my disciples. As Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live by the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As John says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, whatever you ask, it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so that you shall be my disciples. These branches that remain in him, and his word that dwells in him, will bear forth much fruit. They will die to self and the passions of the world, but they will live for Christ. Therefore, whatever you ask, God will provide for you. Finally, as we mature as believers, we will produce an abundance of fruit, and the Father is glorified because we show ourselves to be the disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the true vine. He produces fruit within his branches. The fruit of Jesus is good, and it only will endure. How much fruit are you letting yourself to produce in your life? Is there no fruit, some fruit, or an abundance of fruit? Jesus emphasizes again and again the importance of remaining in him, or abiding in him. Believers are attached to Jesus as branches are attached to a vine. And just as a branch can only bear fruit, it remains to the vine. So believers can only bear fruit if they remain in Christ. If we fail to do so, we will wither and die. The image of a dead branch thrown into a fire and burned is simply there's nothing much that can be done with a dead branch except to be used for firewood. But believers are not meant to be like this. By remaining close to Christ, they will bear much fruit as God intends us to be. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Keep this verse in our hearts, chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringing forth much fruit. Amen.